Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode 63 for Sunday, April 17th, 2011. I am your erstwhile host, Mike Katsifrakis. I am joined by my good friend, Nick Paleo.
Hello.
How's it going, Nick? It's been a while since we've done one of these.
Yeah, you know, we've being a parent and everything's making it really tough for us to podcast.
Yeah, and you know, being sick or having to deal with the kids or having to deal with the patio dudes not showing up to do things.
Yeah, it's friggin' life getting in the way.
It's a wonderful time to be an adult, I guess. So let's not waste too much time on the frivolous intro, and let's get right into what we've been playing. And we've been playing a pretty good selection this time, I think. So Nick, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been playing a whole lot, but what gaming time I have had, I've been playing Dungeon Hunter Alliance on the PlayStation 3, which was it's a Game Loft developed game. Originally, it was on the iPhone, and it's an adaptation of that. And I'm really having a lot of fun with it, especially in co-op. I played a bit with Jason and Andrew the other night after a half-hour bid to get a Bluetooth headset actually working.
I played a little bit of it as well, and what I ended up doing is saying, you know what, I never play PS3 stuff online, so get your asses onto the Xbox and we'll do a party chat there.
Yeah, that's what we did the first night, Andrew and I, but then when I played with Jason, I figured I might as well try and get it working, so.
I just don't feel like buying a Bluetooth headset.
Yeah, you know, I had an old one laying around, luckily, and I found the charger, and so I let it go. And I mean, it was easy to sync up, but the option to actually use it as the default input-output device is buried within, like, three menus, and it's just not very obvious. So yeah. Once we got past that and we got to playing, it's pretty flexible. You know, there's no, like, level restrictions. You can be pretty far apart. Like, Jason was a 17, I think I was like a 9, and Andrew was like a 12. And everybody was getting decent loot that they could use, and XP and gold and stuff. And it's just a good dungeon romp, you know, loot collecting kind of a game. There is some glitchy things, connection-wise. You gotta, sometimes people have issues, and you gotta spam the X button, apparently, is the fix right now while you're connecting.
Yeah, Jason had some trouble connecting to me, and he told me that he basically sat there spamming the A button, or the X button, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. You know, I have played the iPhone version of it, and it looks a lot like the iPhone version of it. And I can see, you know, knowing the iPhone version, that's why the move inputs, you know, make a little bit of sense, because it's basically just substituting the multi-touch for the move.
Yeah, I played a bit with the move yesterday just for Andrew for his review, and I really wasn't impressed. It's basically like a mouse cursor, and you press a button to have the guy follow the cursor. But the way that they have the default attack mapped to the top and the movement to the bottom, it kind of makes it awkward to move and attack at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess alternatively, you can literally waggle it to attack. But I didn't care for that.
And you didn't want to waggle your snow cone.
Yeah, I mean the game.
You're afraid you'd spill it.
You're mashing the X button as much as you can to begin with. Then you want to sit there and like waggle your wrist for a while. I mean, okay, maybe it's building some strength for something else. But no, thank you.
I'm just saying, you've had a lifetime of practice. I know. This is the game that you were destined
for. I was destined for this, huh?
Yeah, it is pretty fun. It's really, really generic, though. So, you know,
yeah,
it's like there's story, and I think I just gave up on trying to follow it, and I just skipped it.
Yeah.
There's a helpful force co-op partner to skip button.
Yeah.
I don't know if that only shows up if you're the host, but it made me laugh.
Yeah,
you don't need any story. Come on.
The only thing I'm kind of bummed with is the actual item names themselves. They're very, very generic.
You mean like ringmail?
Yeah, like ringmail, leather, cotton, like, and then it's just an icon of like what kind of a thing it is. So I, you know, I've always loved the games that do random name generation for things and stuff like that. So But yeah, for $15 or 12, actually, no, it's $13, which is an odd price. Yeah.
Well, it's less if you've ponied up for a PlayStation Plus account.
Right, yeah, it's like
$10.
Yeah, but it's good fun. I've got a couple hours into it. I played a little bit of the Gears 3 beta.
I downloaded that, and then it told me to download like another half gig. So I said, you know what? I'll download this later.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. That was the biggest auto update I've seen on a 360.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back to something that I learned with Dungeon Hunter Alliance. And that is, you know, the annoying thing with the PlayStation, how after you download something, you have to install it.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't download it in the background, it'll auto install it for you.
Yeah, but then you gotta.
Right.
You know, if you want to do other things like play a game, for instance.
Right, but like, yeah. But it's just kind of nice because now I know I can just, if I want to download something, fire up the PS3, download it, don't do it in the background, and go do something else. And then I won't have to do that extra step when I do get back to it. So that was a little thing I learned. Anyway, Gears 3 beta, it's Gears of War. There's, you know, the new characters are kind of interesting, and some of the new weaponry is kind of fun, and there's like a couple new moves you can do. Like if you have the melee lancer that has like the big knife on the end, you can do like a charging attack and spear him up in the air. It's pretty brutal. But it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out once I feel like I want to sit through the auto update. Because that's the thing, is normally when I download stuff on the 360, I just say download and then do something else. And this comes in the form of a title update.
Yeah.
And it was really slow. Like, I let it go a minute or two, and it hadn't even downloaded more than, like, a meg or two.
Wow. Yeah, it took
a bit
for me. So I
said, you know what, not worth it at this time.
What else have I been playing? Dragon Age Origins. I'm finally getting close, I believe, to the end.
So where are you?
I just got captured. So, I mean...
You're on the cusp of the beginning of the ending.
The thing is, I just hate how all RPGs always have the mission where you get captured and lose all your loot and you have to do something. It's like, here we go again.
The way Dragon Age handled it was pretty nice.
I'm not too far. And I literally, it gave me the choice basically to try to escape or wait for help. And I did wait for help. And then it gave me, you know, I got to pick two characters basically that come to rescue me. And that was where I had to quit. So
yeah, well, and the thing is, the rescue, you know, not spoiling anything, but the rescue takes all of 5 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, especially I took Morrigan and Zevran, and they both fast talked their way in, so I didn't have to fight a whole bunch of guys right at the beginning. So you can get about half of it done without any combat, and then it's pretty quick.
Yeah, Zephyr was a bastard of mine and turned on me, so I had to put him down.
Oh, I had sex with him.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I had sex with like every party member I could in that playthrough.
Yeah, see, I didn't really. I've just been kind of blasting through it and have not spent a lot of time with that stuff just because I want to finish it.
Well, my dwarf is a little bit of a, you know, man whore.
Yeah. All right, so what else? Section 8 Prejudice. I've been playing a bunch of that. That's probably the bulk of my time because I want to get a good time in with it for the review, which is this week. And
I'm liking it.
Yeah, I really am. I think it's kind of amazing that it's a downloadable title because the campaign itself is longer than like Call of Duty.
Well, the dump I took this afternoon is longer than the last Call of Duty game.
Call of Duty. Anyway,
pun not intended, but definitely welcome.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's not even just like a campaign that's like a multiplayer game that makes a campaign wrapped around it. There's actually some pretty cool stuff to do. There's lots of cutscenes. It's fully voiced. The lead general is the voice from Crackdown, so that's kind of entertaining.
Yeah. And the guys in that game look like the agents from Crackdown too. It's perfect.
Yeah, they do kind of. so yeah, I played a bunch of the campaign. I'm at the final boss, and the boss is kind of pissing me off. But I played a bunch of the co-op, and it's pretty addictive, and it's a lot more difficult than any of the survival ones that I've played before. Like even like the Left 4 Dead survival, which gets, you know, progressively harder. This one ramps up pretty quickly. After you get to about 7.5 minutes, it's really tough.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you get to drop in, you can drop in vehicles and stuff for yourself to beef up, or you put like turrets and stuff. So it kind of has a little strategy element and stuff to it. And, definitely some strong co-op elements there. You can have somebody that's like basically in charge of dropping in supply turrets next to missile and gun turrets to keep them healed up. You can have a guy, you know, kind of in charge of doing that and stuff like that. And you can have somebody that's in charge of vehicles and cleaning up stragglers around. And so, but yeah, that's been about it. For my gaming time.
Yeah, I've done a pretty thorough job of gaming the past couple weeks. Yeah, this is 3 weeks worth of stuff. So actually, there's games I haven't included on here, but I'll skip over for sake of time. I've also been playing Dungeon Hunter Alliance. It's everything Nick said. It's pretty fun, especially once you get leveled up a bit, because I was really not pleased with it until my warrior gained 3 or 4 levels, and then I actually had a mix of abilities that made it more interesting than, you know, slap the X button a whole bunch. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I'll definitely play more co-op with Jason. We started new characters, and I'm sure I'll meet up with you guys as well. A buddy of mine actually bought recently the Gears of War triple pack. So he's working through Gears 1 right now, and I did some co-op with him, worked on getting some of the co-op achievements that I didn't get when I played through it myself. So yeah, it's kind of remarkable how well that game's held up.
Cool.
It's fun. It is odd coming back to it after playing Gears of War 2. It's just enough of it feels a little different that it's a little, I wouldn't say jarring, but it's not as tight, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like aiming feels a little loose, things like that. I also been playing Bad Company 2. I'm super late to the party, but it's really dang fun.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised when I picked that up. Are you playing it on PC or 360?
PC.
PC.
And it is full on Battlefield, man. Like it totally feels like Battlefield 2.
Yeah.
Like, but you can knock buildings down, which is awesome. The campaign is pretty neat as well. I was actually surprised to see that the game opens during World War II.
Yeah.
I thought that would, you know, the whole time I was playing that, I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, some snark in the face of Call of Duty or something. But it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. And, though it actually didn't happen this weekend because my friends got sick or otherwise busy, I got Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Super Street Fighter 4, and we were going to do some fighting game playing, and so I played a bit of those, and Super Street Fighter 4 is a place that I will never wander online in again. I don't think I'm not bad at Street Fighter at all, and I walked online, I went online and just got completely manhandled. Like, it felt like I was in the middle of Evo, and I was playing against like one of the top ranked players. Like, I just couldn't get a hit in.
Yeah, those people that play online are serious business.
Yeah, and Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is much the same online, but the game is just a lot more fun at its core. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of shinies, and there's a sense of humor, and I really, really like Deadpool's hyper combo, where he dismantles the game's UI and uses it against the opponent.
Yeah.
I was pretty pleased with that, so it's pretty fun. And I got in a retro gaming kick the other night, so I started playing some Final Fantasy Tactics for the original PlayStation. And yeah, it's a lot of fun, even after all these years. I still don't really think there's been a significant traditional turn-based RPG that has done more for the genre since then. There's certainly been fun ones, but in the end, it feels like playing Final Fantasy Tactics or Ogre Battle or Tactics Ogre, all of which are, you know, contemporary of each other.
Yeah.
Except for Valkyria Chronicles, which is amazing and everyone should play it, but it's not really a traditional tactical RPG. Anywho, let's talk about some news. What do you think, Nick?
That sounds like a good plan.
So, one of the great mysteries of life has been revealed, and that is the way your free Steam copy of Portal 2 is going to work. if you buy the PS3 version. And basically, it's what you probably thought. You sign in. It, you know, asks you to sign into Steam, and then you put in a code that comes in the game box, and it, you know, links everything up, and you get Portal 2. Hooray.
Yeah, I think the one thing to take away with that, and it's still kind of up in the air, and I'll be curious to see how it goes, is that they say that you have to have a linked Steam account from the PS3, and then you use the code. It doesn't, you know, then you use the code that's in the box to unlock it on the PC. It'll be interesting to see how that works for people that rent the game, if they can actually link their account or not. Like, I don't know if you just need a copy of the game, you pop it in, you link your account, and you're done. Or if it's like a one-time kind of a deal when you link it.
Well, it said there's a one-time code in the box, so
to actually unlock the PC copy. But I don't know. It wasn't clear if like that meant that one-time code links you to Steam or not. So,
well, I guess we'll be finding out on Tuesday.
Yeah. I know we both pre-ordered the PS3 version, so.
And I fully intend to really only play it on the PC. But my wife really, really dug the original Portal. And my PC setup right now, I just have a nice, expensive pair of headphones that I'm using.
Yeah.
So there's no sound coming out of it. And my wife isn't really one to watch me play the game. She kind of absorbs the story and watches cutscenes and stuff when I play, so I figured the PS3 copy will be good for that. So I'm totally looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up the PS3 one just basically for the PC version, and I wanted to see how the integration stuff worked for the review and everything and all that stuff. Yeah. But it definitely seems like that's going to be the way to go, that version.
If you have any reason at all to play the PS3 version, you might as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here's how I see it. Amazon, for instance, you pre-order the game, you get $55 price point rather than $60. You get free release day shipping. So that's overnight at your doorstep on Tuesday. They're giving a $20 credit towards the game. And so you grab your free PC copy out of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And then you have a PS3 copy that you can trade in.
Yeah.
And get, you know, you can send it back to Amazon and get credit there. Take it to GameStop. Turn it over. You know, if you think about that, if you do it early enough, you're probably getting the game for a grand total of $5, maybe $10.
Yeah.
If you go that way. And you get to keep the Steam copy because, you know, you can't return that. So it's pretty cool. And speaking of the PC version of Portal 2, there was an alternate reality game spinning up the past week and a half or so. And most people guessed that it was going to be tied to an early release of Portal 2. But they were really only half right. Valve said, sure, we'll release Portal 2 early, but you're going to have to work for it. And to work for it, you're going to have to buy more stuff off Steam. Namely, the Potato Sack indie game bundle. So by playing games in the bundle after Friday, there's a webpage that has a stat tracker that shows how many people are concurrently playing or have launched the games in the pack. And after you meet a certain threshold, it says computations are complete for that game, and it churns the hours up a couple hours, so...
Yeah, it's actually
Looks like they're about halfway done with everything.
Yeah, I checked the hours actually probably about a half hour or so ago, and it was about 30 hours left to launch, which puts it a little bit early, like 12 hours from, you know.
Well, as far as I understand, the projected launch counter on that page is actually the game's official launch.
Well, it changes. So what happens is there's counters on each game, and when the counter fills up, it changes the projected launch time based on that. And apparently also, it's not even just playing the game. There's actually like hidden things in the game you have to do to really like unlock whatever
it is.
Yeah,
earn the potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's like a whole big Google Doc out there that tells you exactly what you need to do in each game. And it's pretty crazy how in-depth and just the organization that had to go into, you know, getting 13 different independent developers on board. And I just saw a clip actually about there's a couple fan podcasts that are involved now, and they had Morse code in their podcast. Apparently that ties to this too. So
yeah, it goes all over the place. The only game out of the potato sack, I have two of the games out of the potato sack, but the only one I could fire up and just play quickly is Audio Surf.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
And it was kind of funny. He chose a song and GLaDOS shows up and says, oh, you want to play this song.
Yeah.
And it sends you to a completely different Portal 2 related song to play.
Yeah.
And rather than, you know, your normal audio surfing, it puts you in first person on a surfboard with a portal gun. And yeah, it's weird, but it's pretty cool. And if you gold medal the level, you get one of the potatoes for everything.
Yeah.
So imagine next time we record one of these, we are going to be talking an awful lot about Portal 2. So
yeah,
let's move on. And let's talk about Battlefield 3. EA released the GDC or DICE demo?
It was GDC.
There was a 12-minute gameplay video at a GDC, and they finally released it. I guess it was tied to their Facebook page getting a certain number of likes. So they released this 12-minute video full of Battlefield 3, and my God, that game is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really, really pretty. It's different. I think that's the thing I've been hearing the most from the Battlefield core is that it looks more Call of Duty than it does Battlefield.
A bit.
But I think, I think with DICE at the helm, it's going to stay pretty true to its roots, especially from the multiplayer side. But yeah, it's part of the Fault Line series, is what they've been calling it. I think they released three videos that are from this full thing, but it wasn't the whole thing pieced together. And so there's a lot of goodness to check out.
There is, and it's really hard to describe. There's a lot of dudes in military uniforms shooting guns and some explosions, and there's a particularly awesome shot where a guy fires some kind of rocket-propelled grenade into another building and takes the whole thing down, and it was pretty damn spectacular.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier about Bad Company 2's destruction of buildings and stuff. There's at least two or three instances in the video of showing things blowing up and some kind of destruction, and I wonder if it's going to follow suit and have a lot of destructible objects in buildings and stuff, too.
Well, the average Bad Company 2 map, by the end of a multiplayer session, there really aren't that many buildings standing by the end of it. So I imagine Battlefield 3 is going to, amp it up.
Yeah.
Because, this is their return to form, and they've actually said an awful lot about, they really want to basically use the same development philosophy as the original Crysis, where they said, okay, consoles aren't going to cut it, so we got to show how awesome the PC is right now, and we're just going to push all the boundaries we can, which made my poor little video card, shrink and skulk in a corner for a while, because that game is going to chew my video card up and spit it out. But yeah, it's going to be cool. 64 players, everything's blown up. It's a good return to form for Battlefield, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully the co-op, whatever it is, isn't just a survival mode and they actually have some sort of campaign or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, speaking of multiplayer shooters, let's talk about Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is it's a hell of a title. And it's a squad-based shooter made by the SOCOM developers, set in the Resident Evil universe, and I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around it.
Yeah, the concept is pretty cool. The concept is there's two sides, the Umbrella Corporation and the what the heck are they called? This I guess it is the stars people. But there's also the zombies and stuff going on. And so you have to deal with them as well as the enemy.
Well, there are some pretty cool things where you can, you know, if you wound an enemy, they'll start bleeding, and if they're bleeding, they attract zombies and
right.
all kinds of stuff. So it could be pretty darn cool, but I think I'm going to have to play it before I can reserve judgment, because it's as cool as it sounds. I can think of a million ways that this would be terrible.
From everything I hear, that you know, it's not as slow paced or anything like Resident Evil. Like it's basically right now I've heard it described as SOCOM with the Resident Evil skin.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm sure it'll be tweaked up. It's, you know, we're quite a bit away from the release, but
the thing is, I think I'd want it to feel a little more like a Resident Evil game than SOCOM.
Yeah, I definitely want it to feel a little more deliberate.
Yeah, because you know. If it feels like SOCOM, then it's just a SOCOM mod, right? You know? It's like, oh, we threw zombies into the SOCOM engine. Look how cool this is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to believe. Let's put it that way.
I know Jim is all over this because, and for one reason only, because there was a rumor going around that these guys were going to be doing Battlefront 3.
And so he wants people to snap this up in droves so they get fat with cash and work on Battlefront 3, even though it's not their decision to make?
Yeah, basically.
Ah, sweet. So we're going to obviously learn more about this in the coming months, since I guess it's slated for release this fall.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to hear a lot about this at E3. Here's some sad news. In the weeks we were gone, there was an awesome fan-made Streets of Rage game released for free to the internet. Someone basically said, I really effing love Streets of Rage, and I want to remake it. And they called it Streets of Rage Remake. And it included 103 stages and 19 characters, which is insane. And apparently the developer, not wanting to step on any toes, which we'll come to later, decided that they would recode from the ground up and copy all the pixel art and recreate it from scratch. Which is completely insane.
Yeah.
And apparently it took 8 years.
Yeah.
And for their 8 years of hard work, they got about 1 week of glory before Sega stepped in and told them to take it down. Which is really sad. But, you know, Sega, you know, if they want to keep their IP, they have to aggressively attack it. And, you know, they have to do, you know, have their due diligence and everything, which sucks. But, you know, maybe there'll be some talks in the background and they'll come into some kind of agreement. And this might get official. But for right now, it is kaput.
Yeah, you know, and it's sad, too, because these guys approached Sega, I guess, a couple times to try and get their blessing on it, and they just, you know, kept getting the runaround and everything else. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty bummed because I tried to download it right away, and even the first week, you know, that week, it was really tough to find a download link that worked.
Yeah.
So I will have to acquire it via other means. But,
yeah. So hopefully things will work out for the best, but for right now, we are just sad. Sad, sad, sad. But, I think this is kind of sad as well, but there's a new Black Ops map pack, which should surprise nobody. And the good news is that there's going to be a new zombie map, and we believe it's going to be called Call of the Dead, based on the map names that were given with the pack. And apparently it's going to be pretty cool, and push the zombie mode to the limit, which I don't really know what that means. But
they should just call it extreme.
Yeah. The bad news is the last map pack for Black Ops cost $15. And so this one will probably cost you $15. So unless you play a whole lot of the competitive multiplayer, you're paying $15 for one map.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. And, you know, if you bought the regular edition, you buy all these map packs, this will be, what, the 90th dollar you spent on the game?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's, you know,
it's expensive.
It's pretty expensive. I mean, yeah, things like Borderlands or Mass Effect 2 are up there as well in terms of DLC, but you know that there's more than just maps.
Yeah,
you know. And speaking of unfortunate online stuff, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment has decided to jump onto the online pass style bandwagon. And I believe it is Mortal Kombat and Fear 3 are both going to have some kind of code in the box that you get to apply to your game to play it online or to unlock the full potential of online. And I hate this stuff, and I could editorialize on it for quite a long time, but I don't want to because it's just
an annoyance, like, for, I don't know.
I the incentive to buy a game new is all well and good. It's the crippling of the game for a user that bought it in the used bin at GameStop.
I'd like to see just one company release sales numbers of the online pass on its own, like for the people that buy it used and then buy the online pass.
Yeah.
It can't be that high. I don't see it being that many.
But I think, like, Alan Wake did it pretty well. It's, you know, the new copies of the game came with a voucher for the first piece of DLC.
Yeah.
You know, that's fair.
Yeah, crippling your core game.
It's just, you know, a lot of people I know don't buy games right away, or they don't buy them new because they simply don't want to pay $60 for a game, and so someone buys it for $30, and then they have to drop another $10 if they want the rest of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And folks, my wife is taking care of the baby. Don't think I'm neglecting her. I'm sure you can hear her in the background. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just shady. I don't like it, and I hope this trend goes long away. But so there's some good news. Capcom is re-releasing Dead Rising 2 with the character you wanted to play as in the first place. It's called Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, and you play as a slightly pudgier Frank West. And it's basically a what-if scenario. What if Dead Rising 2 was better?
Oh, man, I just...
What if we decided that rather than offer this as, you know, $10 DLC and an add-on to Dead Rising 2, we charged you full retail price again?
Of course.
Oh, wait, that one's actually happening.
The damage control was out, like, pretty shortly after this was announced.
Yeah.
And I think it was a producer for the game basically said, you know, give us a chance. We're going to show the game at E3, and you'll see that it's not just a reskinning or anything like that. I don't know.
I have heard rumors that they've said certain bits of it are significantly different. One of the cool things I think a lot of people would ask for is when you find a survivor, that you can just say, hey, go back.
Yeah.
Which I believe is how they handled it in the second Case West, rather than having you escort everyone all over the place.
Yeah, they said they changed the same system too.
What was that?
They changed the save system too, so when you enter a new area, it saves it automatically now, and a few other things. So
you know, it'll probably be a better version of the same game you already bought, but it's the same game you already bought until they prove otherwise. I think the burden of proof's on them, because right now, with the details they released,
yeah,
it sure seems like we could really use another $40, guys. And a game was also shown at Captivate called Dragon's Dogma, which is an open-world fantasy action game from the Devil May Cry. And what was the other game? Was it Devil May Cry and Resident Evil guys?
I think that's the two that were involved.
And it looks pretty cool. Someone was saying, I think one of the other media sites was saying that it seemed a lot kind of like Monster Hunter for Westerners. yeah. which would certainly be cool, but Monster Hunter has co-op, and apparently this doesn't.
Yeah, and what's funny is if you read the description for the game, it talks about how you pick party members to go with you on every quest and stuff in the game and things like that. So
yeah,
doesn't really make any sense, but apparently there is going to be some sort of multiplayer. It doesn't specify if it's co-op or not. I would assume it is.
I'd hope it is. The game looks like it needs it.
Yeah, but they're not saying any details about it. The game looks really, really pretty, and I don't know, I'm kind of excited for it from what they showed.
Yeah. It's one to look out for. It certainly caught my interest, especially when the wizard cast the fire spell and in the video a guitar solo started playing. Because that really appeals to me. So let's talk about White Knight Chronicles 2. It's coming out, but you'd be surprised to learn that it's not coming out from Sony, who published the first one. It's being published by D3. And, you know, by association, they're the Earth Defense Force people. Publisher. So, you know, it's in good company. So, basically, the White Knight Chronicles 2 comes with both the original game's content and the sequel. And that's going to be pretty cool because I wanted to play the first one, and then by the time I decided to go grab it, it was off store shelves, and I never saw it again. So I might pick this up and check it out. And the nice thing about this is that the American version actually allows you to play White Knight Chronicles 2 right out of the gate rather than play through the original first, which apparently is how the Japanese version of this worked, which seems completely stupid to me.
Yeah.
Because people who buy this are probably, they've already played or have already finished the original, and forcing them to play it again, well, I don't know.
I'm curious what happens to someone that buys it and doesn't play the original game, like what the game tells them. Like, go buy the first game and finish it first or what? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so, you know, there was co-op, and there's going to be co-op in this, but we don't have many details, although we can probably assume that it'll be fairly similar. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry. There's nothing exciting coming up. Oh, wait. Brink's releasing a week early, which is pretty darn cool. So it's coming out May 10th now. After delays and delays and delays, Bethesda said, you know what? There's a Rockstar game coming out on the 17th, just like us. And maybe we should try and sneak some sales before L.A. Noir comes in and, you know, a bunch of people who like Mad Men and gangsters and police say, I'm going to buy this game. So, yeah, look forward to that. And I didn't really put it down because we haven't covered it, but apparently there's a large number of Wii follow-up rumors flying around. Rumors of the original Wii getting price cuts, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a Wii HD for some time, and, you know, all things being equal, you can't take those with any serious consideration, except when the rumors start getting corroborated by different sources, like different media outlets like IGN and Game Informer started running with this. And, you know, it's sounding a little more plausible that we're going to be hearing about a follow-up to the Wii this E3, which would make the Nintendo press conference actually interesting for the first time since 2005 or so. I'm not going to comment too much about rumors or speculation, but I would really like an HD Nintendo system because I like Nintendo games. I don't like having to, you know, rejigger my entire audio visual setup to play my Wii.
Yeah.
Because I have to do that right now because the damn thing doesn't support HDMI. And yeah, so hopefully in about 6 weeks or so, we'll be hearing
Yep.
We'll be hearing more about this. Maybe earlier.
Maybe later. Yeah, from the rumors, they're kind of saying that Nintendo's probably going to announce it before E3, but being late on the details and then kind of like the full reveal will be at E3, kind of like what they did with the 3DS. So
the other rumor is that they're aiming this more at hardcore devs, but I'm going to believe that when I see it, because Nintendo's been spouting that garbage since the GameCube.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we screwed up with the N64. We're going to get more hardcore games. Like, oh, there's the GameCube. We got Eternal Darkness and Resident Evil 4. That's good enough. And we got all this third-party support for the Wii, and they sure did, and they all made minigame compilations. So, this is definitely going to be a wait and see. It's like the 3DS. It's first Nintendo handheld. I didn't buy it released since the original Game Boy. And Virtual Boy doesn't count because my parents wouldn't buy me one. when it came out in like 95, I was what, 13, 14? You know, I couldn't scrounge up $200 on my own. So anyway, you want to talk a bit about, let's talk a bit about Magic of Vietnam. Sure. We already talked about Dungeon Hunter.
Yeah, we covered that pretty well.
Yeah. Magic of Vietnam. That's a crazy, crazy idea. And they actually made it.
Yeah, they did. it's kind of my idea of what DLC should have been for a lot of games. Like, it extends the content. It adds a bunch of, like, little things here and there. But it doesn't, like, ruin the core game. You know, like, typically, like map packs, right, seem to splinter the user base really bad.
Yeah.
And, Magic of Vietnam, like, I actually had a hard time finding people playing that. Everyone was still playing the core game online. But what it is it's just, there's a new challenge map. So it's not, like, part of the campaign, basically. If you put any of the other challenges, you have, like, you're basically going for the best score possible. There's a bunch of different objectives and stuff. And the maps play out similar to the different acts and stuff in the main game. But this one's set in Vietnam, and it's got, 1970s style music going.
Does Fortunate Son play?
No, they don't have, it's not anything licensed. it's their own stuff that they write.
Does anything even resembling Fortunate Son play?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
There's lots of guns. I was actually surprised at how many different kinds of guns there are to pick up.
There was a gun in the original, so there is precedent for this, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, definitely is. At least I can count like 7 or 8 different guns off the top of my head.
Wow.
And I never managed to actually finish the challenge, so there could have been more further up. Everything from like machine guns to rifles to like assault rifles to SMG type guns, rocket launchers. And with that, they actually added the ability to crouch when you have a gun, so you can hide behind cover. The thing is, like, it's really hard because, like, there's a lot of guys firing bullets at you, and after you take, like, 2 or 3 hits, you get that knockback, so you almost have to crouch behind cover, and from there, you don't have to be in cover, but there's a new spell, a napalm thing. Basically, it kind of works like the thunderstorm thing. You cast it, and wherever kind of like your mouse cursor is the area it's going to affect. It throws out some pink smoke, and eventually a plane comes by and drops a stream of napalm.
It's excellent.
Yeah. So all the enemies and stuff in the game, they're still the little goblin guys and stuff like that. They're just wearing the Vietnamese hats and camo, and there's the big trolls and stuff, and they're all dressed up in military vests and strapped with ammo and stuff like that. And it's fun. There's a new skin for your character where you have like a robe on, and you have an ammo vest and a military hat, and then like your wand or your staff is like a torn American flag around a flagpole. The grenade, the special ability with that thing, I think it's called the Liberty Grenade or the Freedom Grenade. And it's just, it's pretty fun. And especially, for $5, it definitely feels worth it. There's a survival map as well, for 4-player co-op where you can jump in. You got to survive wave after wave of guys. It's like a there's like a big sandbag area in the middle of it. You can use for cover and stuff. So I dig it. I think they probably had a meeting where they were talking about DLC and someone joked about it and they said let's do it and they actually did it and bravo to them.
It reeks of that and I love it. $5 just seems like a good price for it.
Yeah, definitely a fair price for it.
All right, so that's Magic of Vietnam, but you're not here to hear about Magic of Vietnam. You're here to hear about Co-Optimus. So let's talk about some stuff we got going on around the site, but let's begin with talking about the upcoming co-op releases. And you might have to correct this one, but apparently tomorrow.
Yeah, it is tomorrow. I know this for a fact because the PR guy that we were doing a contest with told me that it got pushed.
Okay, all right. So tomorrow, the PC version of the remake of Yar's Revenge, which may or may not have much to do with the original game, it comes out. So look forward to that.
It's freaking tough. I played the demo on Xbox, and it's basically Rez. But it's pretty difficult. So.
It seemed Panzer Dragoon-ish.
Yeah.
When I took a look at it, and I like those types of games, so I'll probably check it out at some point. On Tuesday, the big one, Portal 2, on the PC, the PS3, and the 360. I can't think of anybody who's not going to play that on staff.
I don't know. The only one that might not is Kat. She has a pretty bad motion sickness thing. I think the first game she said she had a problem with.
Well,
actually, I've seen a couple of people that actually got the game early this weekend. I guess Times Square in New York had a thing, and if you had it out, you could pick up the 360 or PS3 version. I know for a few people in New York that picked it up and said that actually they got a bit of motion sickness from it. So.
Wonderful. So it's a game that I will be playing in half-hour bursts. And also on Tuesday, SOCOM 4 for the PS3, which, if you like SOCOM, I believe it's the original developers, right?
I think so. Was Zipper the original?
I think so.
I know they did SOCOM, the PS2 one, like that had the online play. I don't remember if they actually did the one before it.
Well, anyway, it's a Zipper game, but the reason you should play it is because it has a Bear McCreary soundtrack, and he is awesome.
The reviews for it that have come out have not been that positive, sadly.
About SOCOM 4?
Yeah, I remember the joystick review especially, I think they only gave it a 2 out of 5, and
wow.
They just said it was kind of all over the place.
Well, it could be like Dark Void and be worth playing just because it has awesome music. Or maybe the music is so awesome, it reveals the flaws in the gameplay.
Could be.
And there's also The Conduit 2 on the Wii coming out.
Finally, that game was delayed like 5 times.
Yeah, and I don't remember the original Conduit being really good, but apparently it sold enough to make a sequel. So there you have it. On Wednesday, the 20th, we have Section 8 Prejudice for Xbox Live Arcade. And on the 26th, the game Outland is being released on PlayStation Network. And the Xbox Live Arcade version of Moondiver, your modern-day, hey, remember Strider game, is coming out on the 27th.
Have you seen the videos of Outland?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
It looks pretty slick.
Yeah, it does. I'll be all over that, I believe.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see, because there's so many things to play now.
Yes.
And speaking of so many things, my God, we reviewed a ton of games. This is one of the largest game review lists I have ever put together for this podcast. So let's go through it. We recently reviewed Dynasty Warriors 7, Chime Super Deluxe, the Razer Black Widow Ultimate Keyboard, WWE All-Stars. We had our Beyond Co-op reviews for April, which included Dragon Age 2, Homefront, Torchlight, Xbox Live Arcade version, Full House Poker, Knight's Contract, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12, The Masters. The Masters being the bigger branding on the box because you don't want to think about Tiger Woods so much associating with the product now that he's, been putting up the 19th hole. Gray Matter, which is a game I'm greatly interested in because it's created by Jane Jensen, the creator of my favorite adventure series, Gabriel Knight Games, despite the crap third one. The 3DS got reviewed and a bunch of games got looked at along with it. We had a review for Moondiver. We had a review for the Dishwasher Vampire Smile and Lego Star Wars 3 and Slam Bolt Scrappers.
Yeah, it was busy.
That's excluding the Beyond Co-op stuff. That is a lot of co-op goodness out there. And, man, even if you play Dynasty Warriors, that, complete everything in that game in co-op is, 50-hour commitment. It's pretty insane. So we have many features on Co-Optimus, as you are well aware, because we are awesome. Jason managed to get two entries for Indiana Co-op up, one titled Indiana Co-op and the Retribution of Men, and Indiana Co-op and the Null Adventure. So check those out. We had an MMO Co-opportunities for Rift, the game that tells you it's not WoW before you play it, quite clearly. There's a co-op couples. We had a guest editor from the community named Nancy. It's called I'll Show Him, about healthy spousal competition. And a co-op casual Friday about Shadows Over Camelot. That's a lot of content, man.
Yeah, and we've also been doing some stuff behind the scenes with Jason doing a lot more Indiana co-op stuff. We should have it pretty soon publicized as the official list of basically Xbox Live indie games that have co-op. Yeah. So that'll be up. We also started tagging Mac games that have co-op.
And free-to-play games.
And free-to-play games, too, because they seem to be popping up more and more. I know I was checking out the Spiral Knights from Sega, which is a free-to-play, a little MMO kind of thing, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. And I actually checked out the Tiger Woods free-to-play thing.
Yeah,
On EA, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it plays like a PC version of Tiger Woods has.
That's crazy. Yeah, and I've been playing also a little bit of the beta for Gunshine.net.
Yeah,
which is another co-op game coming out. That's pretty fun. It's kind of like Syndicate in a sense. It's the kind of feel I get from it. So
You better not be using that lightly, because that is one of my all time favorite
games. Oh, it's mine too. It's
okay.
It kind of has that Blade Runner esque feel to it with guns and it's good stuff so far. I mean, they change it quite frequently. I mean, it's real early beta. Their version number I think is 0.21 or something.
Wow. So it's actually a beta, not a multiplayer demo.
Yeah, it's very beta, and it's a browser game, but it's pretty fully featured. And
well, that Tiger Woods thing is a browser game in air quotes the size of a barn. Because you set your game up in a browser and then it launches this full screen OpenGL powered daily.
Yeah.
And there's a chat room and everything. It's weird.
Interesting.
It's like people throwing sexual innuendos around on the golf course. It's college all over again. So look forward to that. Hopefully sometime soon we'll have some small cosmetic changes to bits of the site that we feel need cleaning up.
Yeah, hopefully by E3. That's my goal with that stuff.
Yeah. So look forward to it. Co-Optimus evolves with your user feedback, so keep it coming. We do check our email, and we do actually get quite a lot of feedback regarding site features. We have readily identified some user interface elements that people seem to have trouble finding. So we'll probably work on fixing things like that over the next few months. So anyway, you should buy some shirts from the Split Reason store. We're running out of a bunch of them, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting pretty close, I think, to being out of the the red ones, the co-op Revolution.
Revolution.
So I think Revolution. The only ones that's not really selling are our official logo ones, you bastards.
What's wrong with our official logo?
I don't know. They people don't want to wear it around town and promote the site.
Well, nuts to that. you people should know a good logo when you see it. Anyway, you should leave us some feedback on iTunes and follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus without the dash. And I assure you, we do have some voicemails. I just couldn't find the thing that contained the transcript of the questions that Nick put together.
Yeah, I think there was one more we wanted to hit up, wasn't there?
There was one that we wanted to hit up, and I remember saying last time that I wanted to hit it up this time, and so I'm going to unfortunately have to say that we are going to be hitting it up next time. But the number to leave us a voicemail is area code 646-926-6748, and we will do our darndest to answer all of your burning questions. So I'm Mike, and that's Nick, and, you know, this has been the Co-Opticast. We'll see you in hopefully just 2 weeks.